We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFL SundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code GREG88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code GREG88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Postgame Show. I'm your host, Sir Carlo Navas, and with me today,
it's producer co-founder Brian Goins.
It's in the fourth quarter. That 27-point margin is the largest in NBA playoff history.
Joining me also today is our anime lover and professor photoshopper, Brass Jazz.
What's up, everybody?
Also joining us today, welcome back to the program, our Saucy Nuggets insider of Five on the Floor, Lefty Leif.
So the Bucks got the dirty pants.
The dirty dog.
Dirty sand.
The lemon booty. The dirty pants.
Woo.
Leif, those fucking people quit at the end of the game. Straight quit.
Shook ones. Each one of them. It was pretty. They were playing hot potato, essentially.
Spineless.
It was beautiful.
Like, fuck it. Like, dude, I'm watching this and, like, we know, like, I've been very hot and cold on this Heat team all year, and I've really come around in them in the playoffs. Like, I said a couple shows ago, like, I think this team can legitimately go to the finals. And I think, depending on the matchup, this team can win a fucking championship this year. This team that we didn't even know if they would have a go-to scoring option before the free agency period started. We're talking about, I mean, Leif, we're talking to the chat today about finals matchups.
It's insane.
Like, oh, yeah, if they get the Lakers, they could play KO and Bam together. You know, we're looking ahead.
Yeah, what are we doing? It's unreal.
What is this?
I mean, if there was ever a sales pitch that was so perfectly executed to Giannis for 2021, it's this. Because it's just far enough away where he doesn't look like he's joining the team that just beat him. But it's just enough to show him what the potential is of coming down to Miami. So it's kind of working out exactly as we would have wanted, even if they lose the next round. But they won't.
Pull out some of these wins and some players, which you've expected in recent days to really show out,
are just kind of just not there, and we're still able to win. It's crazy how many sort of layers this team has, man.
Apparently, Giannis in his post-game presser said repeatedly a variation of Miami played harder than us.
They did. Leif, Miami Heat basketball. This is a Miami Heat team. Jay Crowder, Miami Heat guy. Andre Iguodala on a bad ankle, played 8 minutes before his stint in the fourth quarter, had played fewer minutes than Myers Leonard, who was, by all accounts, really bad today and borderline unplayable for a lot of the stretch. Hard on him. You put him in cold. There's not much he could do against that matchup. Andre had played less minutes than he did. Andre comes in the game, two straight assists, gutty performance, gutty defense. Goran was gassed. They asked Goran to do so much today, and he had to, considering Duncan gave him nothing. Kendrick Nunn gave them nothing. It was a really, KO was not there, and we see how important he is, especially with their center rotation. Miami fucking Heat performance, Miami Heat effort on the floor. This team embodies everything that we've ever said about culture, everything that we've ever said about a Pat Riley team. Like, I can't imagine how happy he is right now, like, watching them.
This run, arguably, is the most validating run for the organization's longstanding views on the way they team build, the way that they approach just the entire process. that... Like, because it's not like when you get the big three, you're expected to win, or when you trade for Shaq, you're expected to make that run. This is literally like these dudes gritting this out, and they're it's blossoming as we're watching it. So it's like it is the most aggrandizing we could be about Heat culture. And I know that's cliche. People probably cringe when they hear me say it, but like, look at what we're watching. Like, it is literally the embodiment of that on the floor.
This is basically what we've been watching for the last 4 or 5 seasons with this Heat team, just with a better like cast that actually fits the pieces on the team now.
Exactly.
We were hoping for a team just like this. We had that 30-11 run, and now they're doing it on the biggest moments on national TV. You have the media attention finally that you've been craving for years. And dude, they're the fucking only team that hasn't lost a game in the postseason.
Yeah. And they're playing the highest seeded team as well, or the highest winning percentage team this season. But I was saying, piggybacking what Leif said, the last time we were talking sort of this way at all about any team was really 2016, when we were really, you know, we had our chance. If the injuries went a different way, we could have gone much farther potentially in that series and that playoffs. But even then, it still took 7 games to beat Charlotte, and it's still, you know, it was 7 games, and you know, we you know, didn't play so hot in game 7, but still,
Jeremy Lin's still getting foul calls from that series.
Like, yep. You know, and it was exciting, but we were just like getting, you know, it was like a game of inches.
Yeah,
these are not really inches.
No, they are separating themselves. And also, like, we were, that was like a Dwayne series still. And it was still like a patchwork roster where they brought in Luol Deng for a season. So there was some homegrown aspects to that 2016 group with Justice and Jay Rich and things like that. But this is like that on steroids when you talk about the mix of vets and homegrown talent that they're kind of cultivating as we go. So it's just, this has been we're having fun again. Can we say that?
We're having some fucking fun again.
We suffered so many years as a podcast for this moment.
It's so true.
We covered Hassan Whiteside for years.
And we didn't miss a beat. That's like, if you really think about that, like, we earned this run.
Henry Walker game winners.
Oh my God. Zoran Dragic games. Like, that's what we had.
Minutes to dog.
We had Beasley stints. We had like a 5th and 6th Beasley stint.
Me, you know, shopping, I mean, for jeans in Sam's Club, and now look at us. We're in the Eastern Conference Finals almost.
So, I mean, like, you see a guy like Tyler Hero on the floor, and it's a guy, like, we know Spoelstra, and even Riley to a lot of extent, like, that coaching tree doesn't put their trust in rookies in big situations the way that they're doing. And for them on the floor, the guys that you know that Spo trusted, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Jay Crowder, and Tyler Hero, a rookie, 20 years old, making plays. I mean, like, Jimmy's getting into the paint, and Goran, I forgot Goran's, kicking it out to Hero to make big plays at the elbow. Like, he's triggering offense. He's, like, I don't, like, for a guy that young to be in such leveraged situations, to be so in control of his offense, to be so in control and aware of the moment. And like, I know that the Heat are up 2-0. And I know that if they lost this game, we would have come on a show and we would have said, you know, they're still up. They've played really well. They've outscored Milwaukee a lot. They've have a good game plan. But I mean, let's be real. Like, if they lose that game, if they lose game three and it's 2-1, you know, suddenly you're afraid. Well, did the Beast wake up? Like, you know, if the Bucks reel off, you know, four straight, can we be surprised? Can the Bucks win two or three? You know what I mean? It felt in a way like a life or death game, and they responded.
Yeah, no, that's so true, because like with a one seed and with Giannis, the way that he plays, you never know when he's. Oh, I mean, I'm getting shown a text message, right? Or who is that?
Brian, what are you doing? Show us. Just say something.
I think it's funny because I was looking up tweets.
It's not a real tweet.
I know it's not a real tweet, but it's hilarious that Giannis got hacked like a couple months ago saying, fuck Chris Middleton, I want to play with some actual shooters. And I feel like that's exactly what's happening this season.
Yo, the Heat don't respect those shooters at all.
No, they don't.
The Heat don't respect any of those shooters. Yo, what up? We're welcoming in Alex Solana, the homie. You're your shirt. Let's go.
I am jacked the fuck up, man.
Alex, bro.
What's up, Leif?
What's up? What's up?
Dog, how? I what? John? Like, I can't. Don't call him John. It's Brass. Who the fuck is John?
I panicked. I forgot it was Brass, and I said John.
Did you go get your chicken kitchen? Are you all chicken kitchened up? Is that Fiji water? What 1% are you?
Wow.
What is $7.90 the ticket paying?
You think you're better than us?
I refill it. I refill it with my Brita. Yeah. I refill it. I swear.
Good answer. You have that one stored up, huh?
I bought Fiji once and I refill it every time. I just like the shape of the bottle. I swear. Why did I even join? I just want to talk Heat. Don't make me feel bad. I just want to talk Heat.
It's filled with Middleton's tears.
Big ass Fiji. Yo, Alex, we were saying like the Heat don't respect Milwaukee shooters at all. They're like, Brooke Lopez, you want to beat us? Fine. Fucking do it. Giannis, you want to shoot? That was my favorite. They're just like, Giannis, take that. What was he, 0 for 7 today?
Literally, I think he was 0 for 7. But I can't even believe it though, right? Like everything that Milwaukee strived on in the regular season, it's like Miami was perfectly built to stop. Perfectly built. And I know we talked about it last pod where like Riley and Spo were I guess like crafting the team for this series. But I don't even know how we look at it, but it's incredible how this is all actually happening. Everything that they were planning on is happening. It's incredible.
Cuz then Justice Winslow that championship ring when we win.
Yeah, that's happened so often. Over the last, you know, few seasons, especially, you know, once the big three was formed, it was all about teams kind of, you know, just rebuilding, restructuring the way they're
Pacers, right?
Just to beat Miami.
Right.
So you had all these teams. You had, you know, Brooklyn was a good example of that. They put all their chips in and got the old ass Celtics and everything and tried and was like 4-0 in the regular season and then just, you know, and then lost in five. But like you see those teams sort of being built to combat the really good teams out there. And honestly, it doesn't work. It really doesn't work. But this
till now.
We weren't willing to beat the Bucks.
Exactly. Right. You're right. No, you hit on it.
But still, right. I mean, it's this is insane to be up 3-0, man. Look
what Jimmy's doing in the clutch. Like to see him literally take over and embrace that. I mean, the only thing I can compare to is watching Dwayne, and we're not going to put them in the same sentence, but come on now. Like when you see him put his head down late in that game and take on that challenge play, get to the free throw line. I mean, it's now you see why you max that guy. That now you see why you don't harp on his jumper because you know of all the stuff that he brings. Yeah. So let me pose this to you guys because we're going to get cocky and we're going to just skip ahead to the Eastern Conference.
Go.
Who has more horses to defend Jimmy, Boston or Toronto? Really think about this before you answer because I know G is going to immediately say the Raptors. Think about that. Who has more horses to stop Jimmy?
So I will say the Raptors only because they have the player that can stop Miami's favorite actions. Because Jaylen Brown, for as good as he is and as good of a job he's done on Siakam, He's very mistake prone. And if you talk to Boston fans and if you talk to them, like, he's a very frustrating player for them. And with the amount of motion that Miami runs in their offense, you might be able, like, the guy I'm scared of on Boston is Kemba Walker, right? I'm scared of that. I mean, Miami really hasn't had to face a guy like Kemba yet who can exploit their biggest weakness. Goran's been a strength for them. Eric Bledsoe, I declared on this podcast, Eric Bledsoe's not going to fucking beat us. And he hasn't. Right? Like, I'll fucking be damned if Eric Bledsoe beats us. Kemba's a scary guy. But to answer your question, like, what OG Anunoby does with what, I mean, with Fred VanVleet can switch onto guards, Kyle Lowry, even though he's small, can do a lot of switching. The Raptors can do a lot of switching that the Bucks aren't a switchy team. They're dropping. And if you saw today, Leif, like when you're talking about Jimmy taking over, when Giannis was on Jimmy Butler, Spoelstra's like, Goran, come screen for Jimmy. Let's get George Hill in that play. And Jimmy's taking George Hill straight to the fucking rim. You take Giannis out of help defensive position and they kick it to Jay Crowder for a wide open three. Like,
trust you process.
You trust. I mean, he's Leif. You hit the nail on the head when you said that Spo has been preparing for this all year, but has had like a week.
Yeah, no, it shows. And he's like, that's the thing is like, it's almost like they lucked into this roster. Oh, there we go. Trust the Spo.
Alex is busting out the Trust the Spo set shirt. Let's go.
I still haven't worn mine. I hold it in such high regard. I haven't found an occasion awesome enough to wear it yet.
Championship.
For the finals.
Yeah, right? For the parade.
I felt cocky Heat fans back tonight, in me at least, so why not?
Oh, no, okay. Yeah, we were. We said why last not? Show we were 90% Leif. Are we back 100? Brass, Leif, are we back 100% cocky Heat fan back?
Yes. Yes.
100%.
Yeah. No question.
Yeah.
Even if they're down in game four, like if they're down 15 in the second half, are we still back? Or like, guys,
no, it's Heat in four. I said this from the beginning when we did.
Brian's been on point, dude. That guy gambled. That guy tagged us. Leif, did you see that? Some dude, like Brian said, Heat in four in the podcast. And some guy went on Bet Online, promo code Blue Wire, and is like, fuck it, I'm betting Heat in four. We're just like, bravo, oh, dude.
Someone on the live stream actually brought that up, but they said that, Gianni, that you were the one who placed the bet. And I said, that doesn't sound like something.
Oh, no, I don't have guts like that.
Unfortunately, he said Raptors in four, so it didn't really work out.
That just took... I mean, we're... Obviously, you know, they're up 3-0. Who the hell's that? Oh, is that Frankie, our 2K coach Frankie?
Let's fucking go!
Frankie's excuse for not coming on the pod was he was in Orlando. It's just like a weird excuse.
Yeah, so am I. What does that mean?
I was literally at Target when you guys were asking me. That's why.
Oh, I watched Gianni watch Kyle Lowry hit a game winner at Target.
We're not talking about Kyle right now. We're talking about the Heat, a game away from the Eastern Conference Finals. A 5 games away from the NBA Finals with the chance to win the fucking championship. Like, I
have a question.
Guys, yes, go
for it.
I have a question. When their careers are over, who will be more responsible for coaches being fired? LeBron James or Jimmy Butler?
LeBron. That's not even a question.
LeBron. No, LeBron James.
LeBron still has like 2 more teams to go to.
How can we say?
I see what Brass is saying because he's going to get these other, all Bud's going to get fired because of Jimmy.
Correct.
Nate McMillan got fired because of Jimmy. Can Brad Stevens get fired because of Jimmy?
No, he's like, no. Tom is LeBron fired because of Jimmy?
Is LeBron going to get Frank Vogel fired twice?
That is great.
All I'm saying, he could be on the Mount Rushmore of firing coaches.
How can we say cocky Heat fans not 100% back when Brass is asking those kinds of questions, baby?
That's true.
I want to hear.
We're all the way back. We're talking about prematurely Bud getting fired. Brad Stevens, you're next, man. I am euphoric. It feels, as Leif said, this feels as validating as anything. I think from a tactical perspective, the Heat have kicked the Bucks' ass up and down the court. Like in that game, guys, I thought the Heat played really bad three quarters, right? Like they were getting out rebounded by like 10. They were losing the turnover battle. The Bucks were shooting 40% from three as well as the Heat. The Heat just had a couple more threes before that fourth quarter.
What was frustrating too was that Milwaukee wasn't really getting theirs. You know what I mean? Like it's not like Milwaukee was just playing better and okay. Look, they're the best team of the East. They're just being better. Miami was just playing bad and Milwaukee was playing bad as well. That's what was so frustrating. But I don't mean to interrupt, Gianni, but what does Milwaukee do now? I don't know if you guys already covered this. Because I was thinking about, we talked about it in Hawks and Crowder today. Like,
we're looking ahead to the finals, Alex.
but I mean in game four. Like, what yeah. what does Milwaukee do?
I mean, what I tweeted earlier, I still stand by. I think the best thing for them to do is to sit Giannis in the fourth just to see how their team is going to look next year.
So, Frankie could actually lend a little bit to this. So if you look at the Bucks, I mean, when they put Giannis at the five, it was real tough for Miami. He was killing them both offense and defense. You know, when the Bucks went out of his way to have him off the ball. So he is a much faster help defender than Brook Lopez. And as good as Brook Lopez is, Frankie, you know, Giannis is flying around, getting in the lane. Dragic was getting nothing. Kendrick Nunn was getting nothing. It was a nightmare for them. And on offense, they're pushing the ball. They're playing at the speed that they want to play at. So I'm thinking they could go a little more Giannis at the five, but they haven't gone to that for long stretches for a reason. I don't know, Frankie, maybe you can give some insight why, but that's like the only real adjustment I could see. Cause today they were switching a little bit. Some of that handoff action, they went zone for a while, which I thought was interesting. And the Heat immediately put Duncan Robinson back in the game to see if it could get him going. So I kind of want to hand this off to Frankie to see like what he might think the Bucks can do.
You would think that down 2-0, heading to Miami for a must-win game, you'd think Bud would finally play Giannis over 40 minutes. He played him like 35 minutes. It's a Bud thing, man. I don't know if it's a rest thing with Giannis that he needs more, like he's so used to it and he can't be pushed, but I don't get that. What they're going to do is they're going to look at the tape, look at all their options, and they're going to realize they have to start planning off-season vacations now. And yeah, they can't leave the country. So
they can't go anywhere. They don't even have Cancun to look forward to.
They're going back to Milwaukee. This is the worst case scenario for them.
And
they'll get some free fast passes at Disney, I think.
Yeah. In this economy.
How funny is it that Coach Bud has a secret weapon on his bench buried, Ilyasova, random scrub heat killer.
Oh my God.
And he's not even using him. So it's like ultimately he didn't do his homework and it just reinforces why he's getting fired.
I gotta be honest with you.
I want to bring this up, guys. Budenholzer said that Giannis and Middleton playing 35 to 36 minutes is pushing the ceiling.
That's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Kyle Lowry played like 46 minutes yesterday.
He played the whole second half in the must win game. And Kyle Lowry's fat.
And ended the game with a big smile.
Exactly. Giannis can absolutely be pushed. When have you seen Giannis look exhausted at the end of the game or Middleton? They're good to go. They are prime in their prime age. They should be able to be pushed as far as possible.
Oh, he's
36 minutes.
More before he is exhausted.
Yeah.
I will say this. They went to they totally eliminated Pat Connaughton from the rotation. Played like 30 seconds in the game.
Korver too is like washed. Done.
Thank God. And there hasn't been one of those Connaughtons or DiVincenzo guys to fucking drill us, right? Like that's
what I was so scared about. Of that.
The Korver minutes where he comes in, he hits four threes, and you're like, oh my God, we're down eight. Like they haven't had that. They haven't had any of their role players other than Brook Lopez, but I wouldn't put him in that category, right? Like he's part of their offense normally. Right. Yeah. Like he's right. He's always effective. So thank God.
No,
like, had the Connaughtons or
yeah, we talked about Lopez. We're like, If your offense is Brook Lopez hitting three after three, we'll take that all day.
Yeah. You take that all day.
That's a recipe for success for the opposition.
Yeah.
You're not. He's a 31% three-point shooter. He can hit some in a spot, but if you're going to live on that diet, you're not going to win games like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you guys a question. How many threes do you think Lopez hit today?
Three.
Not enough.
It was three, but it felt like a million. I was shocked that he was 3 for 9. Like a lot more. It was 3 for 9. It felt like he was killing it. But like we said, that's what Miami's going to want. Yeah. And
that 40-13 run in the fourth quarter made all of Milwaukee starters look like they had the worst plus minus. That just shows you how deceiving that stat is. Bro. Brook Lopez is a minus 23. Bledsoe minus 22, although that kind of looked like it.
I have a great stat, guys. I have a great stat. You want to guess what the Bucks shot outside the paint in the last 17 minutes of the game in game three?
0% or something. They didn't score for like, they scored 1 point in the last 5 minutes of the game and it was off a free throw.
The Bucks went 0-for-15 on shots outside the paint in the last 17 plus minutes of game three.
Wow.
They don't have a perimeter creator, man. That's their big, we've talked about how Miami struggles against guards who can hit the pull-up three like Kemba and stuff like that. And they don't have that guy. They're counting on George Hill and Middleton. Middleton like is more of a slasher, post up. He gets his stuff off secondary ball handler mostly. He's had to be a primary guy for this series because that's the best recipe to beat the Heat. And he's just not used to that. They don't. Bud didn't experiment during the season enough with his other guys in different roles. Miami had to because of injuries and trying out new guys. So
How pissed is George Hill going to be when he gets beat by Miami in the playoffs again?
He's used to it by now.
I mean, but he thought, oh man, this time I got him.
I got it. I got it, guys. I got it. The other thing, Frankie, is that like Miami has, you know, unlike Bud, Spo's been incredibly adaptable this series, right? So like we've talked about this a lot. Miami to start the year played a drop scheme, and that's been employed ever since pretty much Hassan became a fixture on this team. Supposed to completely revamp the defense, made it a drop scheme defense. They were not really trapping. They weren't really switching. They were kind of playing through their bigs, kind of old Pat Riley style, funnel everything into your shot blocking big. And after they traded Hassan, they didn't really revamp a lot. You know, they were still playing the drop with Bam and with Myers, you know. And after the trade, it switched, right? Like quite literally. You know, so you kind of hope that Justice could have been that guy, couldn't stay healthy. You get two wings in Andre and Jay. And I can't say enough how huge Andre has been for them this playoff run. I mean, what that guy's been able to do, he's the only player on the Heat, by the way, when he's guarding Giannis that holds him under 50%. Bam and Jimmy and Jay, Bam's still getting his numbers, not against Andre. And for him to go out, again, bad ankle. Barely played, needed to give him 2-3 minutes so that Dragic can get a little rest. Fucking Herculean. But the difference between Spo and Bud, where Spo's changing shit on the fly, adapting, trying new lineups, throwing shit at the wall, like seeing what works. You fucking love, man. That's what good coaches are. That's what the best coaches in the league do.
Yeah, Zach Lowe mentioned this on the podcast, that they switched up from using Bam primarily on Giannis because Giannis would drop his shoulder into Bam and Bam's not jumping three rows back. He uses the smaller guys who are still strong and capable and lengthy enough to bother him. And that driving his shoulder in, those spin moves become offensive fouls, and that changes the game for them. He has to think more and has to be more careful not to pick up more fouls, even though Bud's not going to play him 36 minutes. So there's nothing they can do. They gotta see.
They're done. They're cooked, dude. Like
you think game four, it's just like they come out defeated, or right. are they coming out with like a chip on their shoulder to prove that they won't get swept or whatever?
They have to avoid a sweep at this point. It's not even just winning the series; it's just avoiding a sweep.
Yeah, to save face. I mean, all their family just got in the bubble. Like everyone just arrived, and they're like, just don't even unpack the suitcases. Head on home.
Honestly, I don't think I've seen a team that deflated after a loss like that since, honestly, the Spurs after game six. Right? It was a similar kind of vibe. It's like, fuck.
Yeah, the air got sucked out of them. I mean, but you know what? Like when they went up 11 or 12, I forgot how much they actually got up. Like you have to, like I asked myself, like what's working in that moment? They had gotten the pace up. They sped the game up. At least that's what it felt like from Leif's eye test. And I think that we're going to see them try to get to that early in the next game, but it's not going to work. And the Heat are going to probably close this thing out because we still haven't had a dunking game, like a real dunking game.
Crazy. It's crazy.
You know what I'm waiting for? KZ Akpala minutes. Let's go. Game four.
Solomon
game
Hill. Time. 3KZ. Solomon Hill crossover master. Honestly, if Kelly's not right for game four, I don't know what they do. Because like that, I mean, it was
Myers today is not working.
Today was a patchwork disaster. Was it
rust? I get, but before Myers even, you know, stopped playing back in March, like I get his. like he just wasn't playing as well as he had been in the beginning of the year. But was this rust? Like, can we talk it up to that?
Lineup out there?
It was a little bit of both.
Quarter. No, yeah. But there was a terrible
lineup. They had three guards in Myers, right? And when you're going to have that, and it's a Myers, and like I've been hard on Myers, but at the same time, Alex, like it's like you said, he hasn't played in forever, and yeah. at his best, he's a serviceable defender.
Right.
When he's not in his own like zone and in the right fitness, you know, it's just you can't throw him in the Eastern Conference semifinals against the number one seeded team. Right. And hope, right? And it's not only that, you're throwing them in with Kendrick Nunn, Goran Dragic, and Tyler Hero on the floor at the same time. You know what I mean? So you have a bunch of turnstiles on defense plus Myers, and it's like,
he was in there with Nunn.
I was like, yo, Derek's getting thrown around like a rag doll. I was like, Spo, make the stop.
Well, those are two players playing at the same time that didn't even play more than like 10 minutes combined in the last series.
Myers Leonard was still a plus three, though.
Yeah, they survived those minutes with that weird ass lineup. That weird ass lineup.
Oh, but that was totally lucky. That's like Florida surviving COVID. I mean, they fell backwards into minus three. Like they did nothing right, and they just like whoop. We'll take that. You know, Spo did DeSantis in that moment, but I hope we don't see that ever again.
Yeah, don't ever say that again, please.
I'm sorry, Brian. Bleep it out. Bleep it out.
Sundays are back in the NFL. Watch NFL Sunday Ticket.tv. You could stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite device. Plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE. You've counted on restaurants all your life. Now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings the food that you've been craving right to your door. Ordering is really easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and the food will be safely delivered outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, the Cheesecake Factory, anything. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery as well. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on the way. Right now, our listeners get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order on $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and use promo code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you use the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget the code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Looking ahead, like KO has been so good for them. And I'm so glad. I'm such a big Kelly Olynyk guy. And I'm so glad that he's been good. And I'm so glad that even today we saw how much he brings to them. That those 10 minutes that he gives. Leif, we were talking about this earlier, you know, like when Giannis is out and Lopez is in, they throw Kelly in there and he's absolutely thumping them.
Yeah.
Off pick and roll, shooting.
Yeah, the way that he pops and like they just know, they know that they can't leave him also. Even if Myers had played well tonight, he doesn't have any level of I guess, I mean, it feels weird to associate gravity with Kelly Olynyk, but there's some that exist there right now. So let's hope he gets back on the court. They held him out strategically. Hopefully he'll be ready for the next one.
Well, I think...
Do you know what he's shooting in the playoffs?
Kelly?
From three? Yeah.
Like 60%?
80%!
No way.
Wow. Yes! I checked yesterday and I tweeted it and I was like, what the fuck?
Is this the best team ever constructed? Like, seriously, every stat we read starting in this series is like mind-blowing. Every fucking stat we read is mind-blowing.
Bam is plus 17 when he plays this postseason run. And they're like killing everybody.
We're only missing a point of attack defender. That's it.
Like, that's it. We just need Patrick Beverly or something.
Here's the key. You just never get attacked, and then you don't need a point of attack defender.
The timeline tonight needed to have the fucking guts, and it really didn't, man.
Let's talk about that. Oh,
no.
Okay, that's our trash sweeter, Jack Alfonso. Before Jack says
it's the reverse jinx.
No, dude, I was shook. I had the lemon booty. I was scared. My timeline was. I've been running the Heapy Twitter account during the playoffs for the games, and you noticed the mood today was very different. I'm complaining about every lineup. I was like, "Yo, this is. I don't like this. I'm scared. Hold me.
Wait. I'm pulling up one of your tweets. You tweeted exactly an hour ago saying, I am paralyzed with fear.
I wasn't. They were up four.
That's how he sounds on all the dating apps, too.
Tweeting at Coach Bud.
Yo. That's my Tinder profile. Paralyzed with fear always. We had no guts today. Leif always has the guts, and Brass had the guts. Jack, we did not have the guts.
No, I had the guts at the end of the third quarter. I said,
you're a fucking liar.
They want to win this.
That's a fucking kind of analysis is that?
But I've been trying to reverse jinx them all series. I've been talking shit about Jimmy.
Are you drinking beer out of a, hold on, are you drinking beer out of a brown bag?
Brown paper bag, that's what's up right there. That's some 6 Ave stuff right there.
He's got a 40.
It's malt liquor.
Northwest 6 Ave, baby.
I got to New Orleans like 20 minutes ago. So.
Oh, you're going to get so. What are you doing in New Orleans?
Weren't you just
Labor Day weekend?
Weren't you just in Key West?
Yeah, like 2 days ago.
Is this Jack's World Tour as the Heat?
No, I'm moving.
Bucks?
Yeah, I'm on a road trip right now.
You realize there's a pandemic.
Yeah, I'm not like going to bars right now.
That's why he's drinking out of. That's why he's drinking out of the 40 in the paper bag.
Pour some out for the Milwaukee Bucks, Jack.
Pour some out for Giannis leaving. I've seen the look when a superstar quits on their team in an Eastern Conference semifinal that they should be winning as a one seed. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen. I've seen them quit. I've seen them get triple doubles and losses. I've seen it happen. I'm just saying it happened in 2000.
I wouldn't call DeMar DeRozan a superstar.
This is LeBron and the Cavs losing to Orlando. Like, this is that.
No, I was thinking the Celtics in round two against a four-seeded Celtic team.
On 2010.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm going with this. You see, we're connecting the dots all the way to Giannis in the press conference down in Miami, y'all.
Blade,
I'm working on that post game.
Blade, what's
going to be beautiful?
What's the pitch? Seriously, what's the pitch for Raleigh? Does he just walk into whatever the meeting room is at the AAA American Airlines Arena?
You dropped the 2020 championship ring in his face.
Exactly. No, but
with all the other championship rings, and he played this series, right?
This was the pitch. Delay?
This is the pitch. Yeah, you're watching the pitch.
Exactly. Jack got it. The 40-point fourth quarter is the pitch. You just Giannis walks in the room. You just pop in the tape of that fourth quarter.
Because the truth is that there are ways where essentially this exact team for better, like there obviously can be some slight adjustments. This exact core group is what you walk into the room and pitch Giannis with. There's none of that like, oh, but you're not going to have Hero and Duncan or anything like that. Like you have the space to make that pitch. So that's what you hope for.
Yep. Barring under trade.
So I saw Ethan of Five Reasons Sports tweet this out today when he said, this offseason, you give Goran and Jay a blank check each for 1 year deals.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like on Jay Crowder. Then I really thought about it and I'm like, man, worst case scenario, you fucking trade a $20 million. Like you have a $20 million expiring contract that you can trade.
Yeah. And it won't be that high, but essentially you're doing is you're giving them good faith 1 year balloon payments so that they play nice in the next offseason. And that's how you keep this exact core around a guy like Giannis if you add him.
Yeah. Yeah, you can bring him on as like a mid-level or a biannual or something like that.
That's a good point. I mean, I want to max Jay Crowder, like 5 years, whatever he wants. But 4 year
deals.
Yeah, that's just me. But
as long as Johnny keeps saying Jay Crowder's a mediocre shooter,
he's a mediocre shooter. He's gonna regress eventually.
That's good. Keep saying that. We need that.
There we go.
That's what we need for the Celtics series.
That motherfucker about Duncan though.
Is not scared to shoot.
Oh, yeah, we need to drink Duncan.
Yeah, Duncan, Duncan had his run, you know, system player, you know,
Send Duncan back to Sioux Falls.
No, but yeah. I do want to say something about Duncan because Brian's shit talking Duncan in the chat every game. And I want to say that Milwaukee has made Duncan priority number one on defense.
Oh, my gosh, you're so right.
That's not a small thing. And when he's in the game, those guys are going over screens. They're focusing hell or high water because Duncan shots have all been rushed. He's not able to get his feet set, right? So like when Wes Matthews and Middleton and Bledsoe are flying above those screens, he has no airspace. And they're having so much attention there. That's where you get those back cuts. That's how Andre's getting open in the corner. That's why Jay Crowder's always open because it's two guys on the ball. Bam slips a little bit. And that's how you get those passes. Boom, boom, open three. And I know that it's frustrating because he's not hitting shots. And I know it's frustrating because it's not like an all defensive type guy. But what he's doing for them, and I know that he's not closing, but when he's on the court, he is producing, he is helping. And we always talk about this cliche about making guys better. Duncan's at the point that he's making guys better. Early in that first quarter, they kind of they do that little handoff. The guys double him, slips the pass to Bam. Bam kicks it out to Hero in the corner for three. Boom, boom. What more can you want?
Yeah, but I mean, in the Celtics series, he's going to have to start making shots. Like,
but it's going to be different in the Celtics series. The margin of error
is going to be way thinner.
I mean, the Bucks were the number one defense in the league. And not that the Celtics aren't a good defensive team, but I mean, the Celtics aren't going to have the defenders to go over screens. I mean, that's a hard thing to do. You know what I mean? Like the Heat don't really, I mean, even Jimmy doesn't really do that well on the Heat. That's like a very special skill that not a lot of players have, which is why the Raptors matchup becomes a little tougher because they do have a guy that they do have guys that can do that.
Boston's going to match up. Go ahead.
Boston's going to switch. I was going to get
there. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That.
Yeah, they're going to switch that action, and you're going to be able to create a lot of mismatches on that as well, especially with Jimmy. You know, Miami's really screening a lot with Hero and Duncan, and they can get a lot of mismatches. Something I do want a little more of, I want Bam to look at the basket more. He's still a little passive. Like, dude, take it to the rim.
He had that good three-minute stretch where he had those dunks. Yeah, and he's got to go at Giannis.
He's got to go at Giannis. Like, this was a game that Giannis didn't play with foul trouble. And I think when you get a guy like him in foul trouble, who's such a destructive help defender, who's such a... I mean, Giannis in a lot of ways is barreling into guys and spinning. And if he's sitting on three fouls because Bam's going at him offensively, you know, he's going to think a little bit. And that's why, you know, in those first couple games, it was a little more passivity. Today, it was the ankle. But, I mean, kind of when that third quarter run, he was fucking going, right? He had no foul trouble. So that's something I kind of want a little more Bam looking to close out the series.
Yeah, look, he has 20 and 16, and we need a little more from you, Bam.
superstar. That's what
You're right. That's the testament to this.
Like, we're like, you've played an awesome fucking game. You've been one of the best players in the playoffs. Like, your on-off numbers in the playoffs are among the league's best, up there with LeBron James and James Harden, and they're even better than Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, this guy, he's a superstar. Like, Miami has a superstar, and he's young.
And Bam has completely controlled the rebounding game. You know, that was a question mark for him out of college because he was undersized as a big. And he wasn't a tenacious rebounder or anything, but this series and in the regular season too, he was always a very good rebounder. But this series, they're playing small the whole game. He is dominating the boards. He is not. They're all jumping. He's out jumping everybody, going after every board hard, and he's palming them, chinning them, not letting anybody get to him. He's playing like a man we haven't seen before.
Not to be cliche, but that's the fucking culture. Like, I'm not even joking. That is Bam just saying, I'm stronger than you and I'm going to show you. Really, because that's and you see it. Like, he is exerting everything he has every single play. Like, I can't get enough of it. I want to fucking inject it everywhere into my body. Like,
hook it into
everywhere. Chef Trilly putting all the snorting culture gifts on the timeline. That's us right now, man. Leif, all those people that talk shit about the culture, all those people that kind of mocked it, all those people that said all that stuff, and look where we are now.
Listen, I'm in a happy place. I don't want to go to my resentful, they said, straw man tweeting like I tend to do. But I will just say that this is ultimately a moment where everybody could look back and remember, if the Heat ever have a two or three-year stretch where there's some lean years and bad decisions, just know that this stuff turns around, and it's turned around since 95 over and over again. Here we are again. So have a little bit of faith, even beyond Riley, because now the infrastructure is in place. So I feel like this is just another validating moment. Like, there's no Heat team that is more Miami Heat players that are advancing than this group, including the 06 team and the Big Three teams and you know, all of the most successful groups.
No, I was thinking
this team has.
Can I? I was thinking about this earlier, and you know, some of us were a little kind of disappointed that it's like, oh man, we were so close to having a Heat team where Jimmy gets to play with Dwayne, and as cool as that would have been, I have to be honest, I'm glad it happened this way.
Yeah,
because it's a changing of the guard. It's a new chapter. It's a new beginning. And if we would have had that, the team would not have been the same, man. You know, I think, you know, we would have made the playoffs. Yeah, but we weren't really doing anything.
You're being nice. Wade's washed. Just fucking say
whoa,
it.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Triple-double in his last game, Alex. What are you talking about?
Tape the culture fucking thing back in his vein. I think it popped out.
It's not necessarily that he's washed, but I get what Brass is saying that. If Wade was here, it would have been iffy. Because anytime Wade is in a Heat jersey, it is a Dwayne Wade team. Now it can be firmly a Jimmy Butler team, a Bam Adebayo team. Like, this is a full changing of the guard. There would be some question about who takes the last shot.
How about this? All of Kendrick Nunn minutes suddenly become Dwayne Wade minutes.
I'm here for it.
I'll never say no to Dwayne Wade.
No, but truthfully though, Brass hit the nail on the head. Like, to see this transition, it's perfect.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a crazy year, but I'm just glad it happened this way because it's clear, like, hey Jimmy, this is your shit, man. This is it. And there's no really button heads, man. It's a really super cohesive and deep unit. And honestly, and Spo is fucking flourishing.
And Udonis, yeah. Shout out to Nikias, but Udonis getting all the credit on the bench, yeah. making his $3 million, whatever it is. You know what? Let's give Udonis a blank check next season, too.
No, I'm winning.
Four-year contract.
Yeah, yeah. And
also save. Udonis is going to get four rings. Does that mean Wade would come back to try to get his fourth, too?
Wow, if UD finishes with more rings than Dwayne, that'll be something. Hey,
you know what's cool? Justice would get a ring if we won this year.
We would. They better give that ring in front of fans. I want to be there.
Yo, how about Jimmy scoring on Giannis and screaming out at the top of his lungs, he can't guard me. I mean, that's just...
Did he scream that to the family section with the babies? That's what I want to know.
That are all on their phones? Your dad can't guard me.
Your dad can't guard me.
Big!
Did you see the one on the sideline, Leif? The one I posted on the Heapie DMs?
I don't think so.
I'll read it for you. But basically, they caught him mouthing, I told you, we got some motherfuckers that can ball on this team.
Oh, yeah.
Say I'm fucking right. Say I'm fucking right. I told you.
Who was he talking to?
I think he was talking
George Hill?
To one of the assistants.
No.
That was actually a quote from me late in the fourth quarter.
Oh, I guess, you know, speaking of assistants, and we're kind of running out of show, I guess we should bring this up. Leif and... Heapy, we're reporting that Dan Craig is being eyed, you know, by other teams. You know, longtime Spo assistant. Leif, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, initially we heard it was Chicago that was inquiring about him, and they've given him permission to interview. Now Indiana, being a Central Division team, is also looking at him. That's been less widely reported. And I think it's a little more serious than usual because he's even had the opportunity to start inquiring about building a staff. So that tells me that there's legs to it. I don't know how much. I think he's firmly planted in these playoffs and in the moment. But it's something to watch as the season winds down because I know that they're sending feelers out to build a staff. So we'll see. If I were him, I would go to Indiana over Chicago. I feel like there's more organizational stability there, despite their spending issues. But it'll be interesting because he may get poached. But at this point, as long as Spo's at the helm, I'm good, man. Like Juwan left, Fizz left, and we're survived. So we're good.
You think we get Fizzy back?
I think he's going to wait for a head coaching job. I would imagine Eric Glass would get some sort of promotion. And Malik Allen actually has really embraced that kind of Juwan role on the staff. So I think he would get an elevated spot as well.
And Udonis.
And Quinny.
This is a good time for me to, I guess, tell you guys, but I'm not going to be back at Heat Beat next season. Dan Craig has been reading some of my tweets and he wants me as the head assistant coach for the Pacers. I did it, guys.
Well, that's on brand.
Paid off.
Is it the only nuanced Twitter account on?
Yeah, I guess he just likes my takes. He likes when I say Jimmy Butler is garbage. He likes when I say Justice Winslow is probably the greatest player of all time. Definitely better than Kevin Durant. He likes those tweets and he thinks I have what it takes. Just, you know, not meeting me, not discussing it with me at all. Just popped in my DMs one day and he said, hey, I'm going to the Pacers. I need you to be my head assistant.
Indiana guy, we're happy for you, Jack. We're here at Heat Beat. You know, we are a farm system for the big leagues, and you know, you are yet another product of it.
Hey, free Oladipo. Free Depot.
Guys, I want to once again announce on the pod about our Discord server. Please join it. I will again put the link in the description of this podcast. We are trying to build a community out there. We're going to be we're having fun. We're doing cool stuff with Discord. It's a more intimate place to talk to us and build, talk to other Heat fans, talk during games. We have other sub rooms. We're going to have a lot of fun. We have a Marcus Camby emote, so you can doing the boo Marcus Camby gif, you know, as an emote over there. And next week, it's looking like next week we're launching our live post game show stream. So follow us on Twitch. Once we get the account ready, we're going to tweet out all that information. We had a little test run today. The car's looking nice, guys. The car's looking nice. We're really excited for that. Make sure to check out what all Leif does at Five on the Floor and Five Reasons Sports. They do live streaming after every game, too. Alf is holding it down over there. He Twitter president. They're doing great shit. What do you have, like 20K the other day on a stream?
Yeah, something like that. They come to drunk out post game.
Listen,
ranting.
If you're a Heat Beat lifer, you know how good Drunk Alf is. So you want that raw. Imagine Drunk Alf after this game. It's just the raw emotion. It's just fun. So check out all that stuff. Make sure to check out Nikias at basketballnews.com. You can find that on Twitter. He's doing great stuff over there. I'm proud of our group, man. I'm proud of us. We're killing. Leif, we run this fucking market.
Who would have thought, right?
Let's go. As small as we may be, we're fucking, I'm proud of us, dude. We're all over the place. We are in every corner. We got, you know, you and Alf and Alex, you know, covering the team, going to games, Nikias as well. Nikias is one of the most respected writers. Jack being an Indiana assistant coach. Like,
oh my God. We're the Skyforce.
Did someone say playoffs? NBA and NHL are playing for gold and our partners Bet Online have you covered. Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into fall and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports. And remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.